Welcome. This is the Lady Leadership Podcast. Sam's goal is clear, helping as many women as she can meet their full potential in business and in life. Hi, this is Sam McIntyre, and in this season of the Lady Leadership Podcast, I'm going to be talking to you about how to get the most out of your career, whether you have your own business, whether you work in corporate, or whether you're just starting out, maybe you're finishing uni. So thanks for joining me, and I look forward to sharing all my tips and hints on how to fast track your career. Okay, so I would like to welcome to the Lady Leadership Podcast today a good friend of mine, Ivy Everton. Ivy is the owner and founder of a yoga and float studio called Liquid Room, which is based in Sandringham in Melbourne. I have known, just for disclosure, I've known Ivy for quite a few years, and I've seen her go through this journey, and I'm so inspired and so motivated by beautiful Ivy and the energy and zest that she has for business and for life. So welcome, Ivy.
Oh, thank you for having me, Sam. I'm really excited to be part of this podcast. I know I've heard you speaking of it for a while. I've listened to a few of your podcasts, and yeah, I'm really honored to be part of it. It's exciting. Thank you for having me.
I feel like we're being very professional today.
I know. Usually we're like probably swearing by now.
Our conversations are pretty vibrant. So why don't we start, Ivy, just talk me through why you became a yogi and what you love about having a yoga practice.
So my yoga practice probably started, when I really became actually enjoying doing it and not thinking that it's just another gimmick thing to get into, was my first experience back in year 2000 when I was actually working in Singapore as a teacher. And I remember this guru came into the school and just said, oh, you know, who wants to join yoga? And then I remember stepping into this room, and it's not fancy. It's just a normal room, like a classroom.
Yeah.
And he started speaking quite philosophically and quite spiritually, which is not something that I'm exposed to when you're in a work environment, you know? Talking about, we're now in 2020, a good 10 years ago. 20 years ago, actually. Sorry. And back then, yoga was not a sexy thing to do. It's like, you know, your typical teacher is an Indian teacher.
Yeah.
Yoga, you know, was formed from India. And then when you get on the mat and everyone's just standing around in their, you know, practically joggers and tracksuit, you know, not these fancy yoga gear. But what spoke to me is his spiritual speech that he gave, you know, regarding the whole mind-body connection. And I think as a child, I've always worked in a sense, I've always been quite self-reliant, and I had to do everything and think deeply about everything that I do. And everything that I do, I always felt it in my body, you know. But you can't articulate those things because they're not something you talk to people about.
Yeah.
So when I stepped into the mat and I met this teacher and he talked about mind-body connection, you know, in your 20s, that's not something you talk about with your friends. So I immediately got really drawn to that. And I felt like I found some part of me that was missing.
Yeah.
And since then, I've always, everywhere I've gone, everywhere I've been to, I've always sought some level of yoga classes. And you really have to find them. They're like in someone's backyard or someone's gym or, you know, like, or in a community center. It's never a yoga studio, you know?
Yeah.
So that's how my journey started. And you know, there were a period of time where I stopped, and then because you just couldn't find it, especially when I moved to Australia. And then I got into, my first one was Bikram, which is your hot,
yes,
39 degrees yoga.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a lot of controversy about the founder at the moment. But the class itself was incredible. It was an hour, and I did 5 days in a row, where you basically spend 5 days climatizing to 39 degrees.
Yeah.
And through that, I just fell in love with it. I just fell in love with just no talking and just moving and being so meditatively engaged. And I've just been hooked since then. So that's how I started my yoga journey. Yeah,
I love it. And I mean, is it the mind? And so I was listening to something the other day. It was about kind of confidence, and it was about, you know, the mind, body, spirit all being one. Is that what draws you to it? Is that kind of that physicality of pushing yourself as well, you know, pushing your body, but, you know, the having to have the mind there as well? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think, you know, people who like run or do sort of a type of sports that requires them to focus and concentrate on this repetitive things that you have to do over and over again, yoga takes you to that level as well.
Yeah.
But on the base level of your physical body, you do get into that meditative state where you have to focus because you're moving. You cannot not pay attention to it. Otherwise, you trip,
pull over,
you fall, you injure yourself. Similarly with running. But what gives yoga a more unique element is the actual teaching that comes with it. It's like someone going to a church or a temple or anywhere that's spiritual gathering, and then you hear a priest or a philosopher saying things and teaching you spirituality, but you're doing it through your movements. So there's a combination of that spiritual enlightenment at the same time. You're moving your body in such a way that you have to acknowledge all these spiritual teachings. You know, you can't really avoid it. It's something that you will reflect on after you hear that teaching. Because you're going to notice that, oh, this is what I'm struggling with. This is what I'm challenged with. This is my contemplation. Every time I arrive, when I'm agitated, I'm frustrated, the person next to me is annoying me. How do I deal with that? So yoga puts you in a state of being physically and mentally that you can practice all of that awareness in a safe space. And then hopefully through your awareness, that transfers into your action when you leave the mat, when you leave the room. And on your day to day, because you practice that when you're in your own mat, in your own headspace, it sort of translates without you being aware of it. You know, you become so aware of your reaction that you just sort of go, oh, you know, when I was really agitated, you know, during that practice, it's the same agitation that I'm experiencing now, but I'm driving.
Yeah.
And that behavior translates to your everyday living. That's through like practice and being really aware of it, you know, aware of the changes undergoing as well. And the last thing I love about yoga is it's not attached to any religion, you know.
I'm
as a Buddhist, but I don't feel like I'm going into a yoga mat because I'm trying to be Hindu or Buddhist or anything like that. So yeah, so there's that removal of attachment to specific religion as well, which I love, but you still get that spirituality through it.
So tell me then, and look, I mean, I think I kind of enjoy the sense of, you know, you can get some, you can feel a bit euphoric, you know, you can feel enlightened, so to speak, do you know what I mean? And light. And so tell me, how does it transition then from having your own practice, enjoying that, going on a bit of a journey with that, to then, you know, having your own business, including, you know, because that's pretty brave.
Look, at the end of the day, you know, you have to find a balance between, you know, taking something you love and turning into a business.
Yeah.
I think you're at risk of turning something you love into your work. And then you end up hating it because it becomes your work and becomes a routine that you have to monotonously tick through each day, you know?
Yeah.
So my initial goal was not to open a yoga studio. So I started out as wanting to deepen my understanding of yoga. So I went into teacher training.
Yeah.
And I have a bit of a background that led me to that because I was running marathon, and then I went to chronic fatigue, and then I couldn't run anymore. So I thought I wanted to stimulate another side of myself, which gives me an opportunity then to look deeper into my yoga practice. And then I decided to do a teacher training, not to be a teacher, basically to actually learn to understand the actual teachings behind it and how I can be a better practitioner. And even after I graduated from that school, I never thought of opening a studio, you know? And I continued to sort of practice, but then I was asked to be a teacher. So then my love for the teaching side of it and the practice side of it starts to become even bigger. But then I still don't want to open a studio. And it was until I discovered Float that I thought it was only fitting to have yoga as part of Float in a business.
So talk to me then about Float and the benefits of Float. So I've done a few floats at your studio. I've done a few of your classes as well. I'm certainly not a yogi, but my yoga is my horse riding, and I don't have enough. It's an excuse, but I don't have, I'd love to do more yoga, but it's, I don't allocate the time to it that I would like at the moment because I allocate that time to other things. But talk to me about floating.
Okay. So floating, wow, you know, it's one of those experiences that's really hard to describe. It's something that you just really have to do it. So it's like someone telling you, you know, if you meditate every day, all of a sudden, you know, you're gonna, your chronic pain is gonna melt away, your stress level is gonna reduce, and people are gonna go, wow, how does sitting 15 minutes a day is gonna do that? Similarly, until you do it, you don't see the effects of it. So with floating, it's about putting yourself in a sensory deprivation room, and you're lying on your own, or in my case, in my business, I actually have a room that you can lie with somebody, where you're actually floating in an Epsom salt filled bath of 650 kilograms of salt. So the density of the salt, it's what's allowing you to float and be gravity free. And the beauty about floating is the fact that you're gravity free, you're just floating effortlessly. What that means for your body is your body, for the first time ever, it's not fighting gravity, and you're not trying to hold yourself up. You're not trying to brace yourself against a bed or cushion or a chair. You know, you're not using your spine to keep you upright. And then on top of that, you never really have to adjust your body, you know, consciously. Your body will subconsciously, because through relaxation, through letting go, your body just sort of relaxes itself and readjusts itself. So the idea of floating is physiologically, you're letting your body rest in the most profound way. Like there's nothing out there that will let your body float effortlessly. Yeah, your muscles, your joints, your bones. But the mental side of things is because you're in a sensory deprivation space, imagine putting yourself in a vacuum where there's no stimulation. We're constantly, you know, reacting and responding to stimuli. Sight, smell, wind, temperature change, clothes, fabrics, everything we feel on our skin, everything we taste. In a float room, most of that are removed. You know, you might smell a bit of that salt smell, but other than that, ideally there's no light, so it's pitch black, but then you have a choice to leave some light on. But your whole body is weightless and you're lying there, not having any interruptions. The first time your brain, it's like, imagine your computer hard drive. It's, you know, whenever you save something, you just randomly download. You don't actually tell it where to go. But when you're sitting in a float room, like a hard drive, your brain's like a hard drive. For the first time, your brain's going to go through all these files, all these memories that you've downloaded into your brain and go, you know what? I don't need this anymore. Out it goes. I don't need to. No, but I'm going to store that. I want to think about that later, but I need to think about this now. So you have a chance to recalibrate, readjust, and, you know, decide on what's important, what's priority, you know, and experiences like emotions that you've held back because you're too busy to experience would come up. So those people who are not ready might be overwhelming, but those people who, but most often time people are surprised, but they surprise themselves. They're in there. They're going, wow, I can't believe I'm thinking about my childhood that I haven't thought about in a long time, you know? Or they start crying because they're having grief, their parents' death for 5 years. There's so much that could happen in a space like that. So it's almost an express to meditation. Meditation is a form of self-awareness. And it's going to the depth of your own experiences to actually decide on what you want to keep, what you want to let go. So float gives you that opportunity to put yourself in that state so that you can't distract yourself out of it, you know, like to have to sit and get out, you know.
I found
so that's the beautiful thing.
Yeah, I found it. I wouldn't say I'm a massively stressed out person, but I found it like I was like, you know, hard to relax. Does that? And I know you've told me you fall asleep in there, and I was like, I'm not sure I could fall asleep. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I fall asleep anywhere. That's another thing too. The minute my eyes close. Look, it is hard to relax, right? Just like a lot of people says, I can't sit still to meditate, you know?
Yeah, I can meditate. Like I can do a good, you know, good hour meditation and, you know, with a wandering mind as well. But yeah, I've done a few. I really enjoyed it from a physicality perspective, from a,
absolutely,
you know, yeah, I think definitely worth a combination of, this is why you look so good, a combination of yoga and floats.
Yes, I think I'm very lucky to be in a business where both combination is, you know, about relaxing your mind and then relaxing your body. You know, if your mind can relax, at the very least, your body can relax. And when you keep moving or you go into a float, when you actually fully allow your body to be in that effortless suspension of doing nothing, that's the only time your body have an opportunity to heal. It's like going to sleep, but your body, your brain and your body don't recover unless you're in deep sleep. And in a float, even though you're not sleeping, just the physical body of not doing or responding, not having to act and you know, be in fight and flight, it's enough to channel that back into your mind to slow it down. So, you know, we often, you know, now there's a big drive about channeling your mind to relax your body. We also forget that our body is our anchor. Without our body to remind us that we need to stop, we need to slow down, our brain can go into 24 hours. It can keep going and going and going.
Yeah.
So it's important to come back to our body. So the yoga practice was designed for humans to you know, re-anchor our thoughts from being up here all the time back into our physical body, you know, so that we can go, okay, right now I'm in warrior one, I'm running or I'm squatting, you know, this is challenging. Why is it so hard? That stops your brain from going, oh, you know, I got to go to that meeting. In about an hour, I've got to face this really challenging conversation, all of that.
Yeah.
We often put, our stress gets built up because we often think into the future, or we often put ourselves in the past worrying about what had happened before. So we try to stop ourselves from doing something because we don't want it to repeat itself. So then we keep going back into the past, into the future. So our body is the only vehicle that exists that brings us back to the present. You know, so the movement, any exercise, and you know, yoga, all the poses are so unnatural. It's aimed at making you focus because it's so abnormal.
Yeah.
That's why everyone said yoga is really hard. Yeah. So, you know, yoga is very unnatural. You know, down dog, who goes into down dog every day? Nobody.
No.
You know? It's not even a natural thing we wake up finding ourselves in. Yeah, I do, but you know.
You do. No, but you're right. I mean, I can understand child's pose and stuff like that, you know, from like if you look at it, you know, yoga very much reminds me of what you see small children doing and how they are physical in their bodies. That's,
That's right. And you think about how children respond to, you know, being active, right? So when children are active, they don't worry about anything. That's why they're fearless. Children are known to be so fearless because they're ignorant to what will happen to them, right? Yeah. But as we get older, we have memories. Our memories hold us back constantly. But the problem is our mind goes into our memory and we go into our brain and just sift through all that memory before we make a decision, right? So, you know, without our physical body to constantly remind us, hang on, we're here right now. Sure, you hurt your hips, you know, 5 years ago. Yeah, let's see what your hips can do today. You know, even if you put yourself in that present moment, just feeling your body, feeling the aches and pains, it's an opportunity for you to make the decision for now, not because of what happened to you 5 years ago.
Yeah.
That makes sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? And some people, you know, most of us, we compensate for what had happened to us in the past. We don't often just sit back and go, you know what? Actually, my knee feels good today. I know, you know, 5 years ago I've, you know, twisted it and it went really bad, but today my knee feels good, so I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm actually able to squat, so I'm going to squat. I'm able to, you know, do five more. I'm going to do five more. And then afterwards, that's where your lesson comes. Is it too much? Is it too little? And then your lesson takes you to the next practice.
I like that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I like the after. This is where your lesson comes. I like that. Do you know what I mean? Because it's that reflection as well. And I think that's the same with like work or business or anything, you know, try something, see how it goes and then reflect. Did it go well? Didn't it go well? So how, so you got really brave, decided to open your own float and yoga studio. I mean, and then, you know, you've been running, how long has Liquid Room been running for now?
So Liquid Room started back in 2016.
Yeah.
And it was started out just opening the yoga portion of it because we've imported all the equipment from UK.
Yeah.
Again, you know, I chose rooms because most centers here are all pods. They're in like the eggshell pod.
Yeah.
And I remember mentioning it to a lot of people and they said, oh no, I feel like I'm going to a coffin, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though I started as pods and I'm not one of those people that are afraid of confined spaces, but one in two people actually is afraid of confined spaces. So
I'm afraid of confined spaces. So yes, I know what you
mean. Yeah. So, you know, and the idea of being dark, knowing that there's a capsule surrounding you, it actually scares people.
And
whereas a room is, you know, like room is like of your size of your own toilet, you know, your standard bathroom. Yeah. And having all of that being imported, logistically trying to set up the room, I would say it took us, you know, from the day we opened our door, it took us another month before we started float.
Right.
Our yoga started out first.
Yeah.
And I remember you, Sam, remember you came and helped me clean my
windows? I cleaned the front windows. Yeah, I do remember that on a Sunday.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
You did too. And there was a lot of hard labor because, you know, when you first start your business, you've got to do it all.
You know?
I did my social media at least 6 months before that, you know, so you do have to sort of kickstart the conversation that you're coming soon to your local community. I think that's a very important aspect as well. So we officially opened on beginning of March 2016. So we're 4 years now. Yeah.
Wow. And so tell me about recently. So I know that during COVID you did the business basically in terms of, you know, reinvented yourselves overnight to pretty much keep going. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, pretty much. I think what's really challenging is from last year, October 2019, I've put in place some planning on how to grow the business.
Yeah.
And where I was going to take the brand, not just maintain it in the center to grow it into a much more bigger events kind of focus brand.
Yeah.
And obviously that's not going to happen because we can't have more gatherings and 10 people doing the same activity now. Well, hopefully that will probably change. But imagine that, you know, your business rely on people headcount coming into the door, doing your services, experiencing that whole space and the customer service. And so the presence in the studio was very important.
Yeah. Well,
so that's a big differentiation for us, right?
Yeah. You've created a beautiful space there. It's a lovely place to go. Everyone's bright and cheerful and happy. And, you know, you've got terrific yoga instructors, et cetera, et cetera. Being able to kind of, you know, pivot or transform, you know, in the click of an eye sort of. Yeah, talk to me about that.
So as most of you know, we went into shut down probably the 22nd of March, you know, that's when the government announced that everything shut. So I remember the week leading up to it, I was kind of having a sense that I need to kind of get prepared for, like, even just major cleaning, major hygiene, major safety measures. I acted quick enough to sort of secure that confidence in my customer that at the very least, I have done everything I can to make sure they're safe to continue staying as a member.
Yeah.
And also as a brand, it's important for your customer to see that you're actively doing something without waiting for them to tell you. You know, I think that is very important in business. You know, the last thing I want is my clients walking in going, oh, I watched, you know, I didn't see her doing this. So I'm not sure if she's going to make the right decision anymore. You know, so people weren't even thinking about it. I was already doing it as a business. So that was an important step. And then when we shut down, it was a decision going, how are we going to, at the very least, keep the members staying with us, staying, paying a member?
Yeah.
You know, so we started strategizing on the conversation we need to have with them, meaning what incentive are you going to give them for them to keep paying their monthly membership and trusting that at the end of this, you are going to open. So there's two sides to it. Them getting the incentive to stay a member, and then them trusting that you are a business that's strong enough that's going to come out of this
and
still have a business.
So the
strategy I had was creating a really strong presence with my yoga side of things, even though my float client doesn't do yoga, not all of them do. Just the way that we've converted our entire platform into online, but we didn't just do it online. We allowed as many people as in the public to experience it for free for the week, so that they actually have confidence that we're actually delivering something quality.
Mm.
And then on top of that, maintaining that conversation by really personalizing our strategy. You know, like we also have to communicate what we're doing. We can't just say, "Here's a platform.
Come
online.
Yeah.
Enjoy your class." You know, it was the communication of like, this is why we did something, this is how we did it, this is how challenging it was. Just sharing your journey with them, make them feel like, you know what, they're contributing to something that is worthwhile saving. You know, these people work hard, they want to be part of it. You know? The other thing that I really found important was highlighting the fact that a lot of my teachers are contractors, so they don't necessarily will be getting any funding from the government. So by keeping the online platform afloat, they're actually helping me keep them employed at the very least on the base level. So it is sort of like a humanitarian approach as well. You know, so there's that strategy of creating, letting people feel like they're making a difference, letting people feel like they can trust us, and also letting people know that we're going to be around even after this whole thing finished.
Exactly.
You know, because we're strong enough to stay afloat, and you're part of that journey.
Yeah.
So that was a very important message that, you know, we were trying to send out as well. So that's what I believe was the core reason why we're still able to survive. I mean, we only lost 10% of our clients.
Wow. Yeah, that's great. And you know, I think you got some new customers too, didn't you, off the back of it?
Yeah. So what happens is, you know, we got our members that consistently pay monthly membership or yearly membership. And then one of the things that, you know, this online platform was able to convert was people who probably moved away that have always been quite a loyal customer to us.
Yeah.
And not only that, you get people who only come once a month, once every 2 months, and, you know, are now being homebound. They're now all going, thank God I can jump online and do these work, because, you know, most of the time they don't have the time to do come into the studio.
Yeah.
And so those people that usually come once a while have been consistently coming every week, which is incredible. So the COVID thing, this does change people's behavior and allow, you know, parents who usually have young kids, you know, they don't have time to leave and come back. They don't have two-hour window.
Yeah, they can, you know, pause something and get someone a drink or something to eat. Yeah,
absolutely. You know, so it just created a whole new, like, flexibility for people who won't otherwise have. But the key here is there's a lot of online platforms. People can pay $10 and get like unlimited access to videos. Mm. But I think the key here is when someone comes to your business, they come because they love the experience that you give them.
Yeah.
They love because they trust you. They like the familiarity. They like the special treatment they get from you. So that have to continue even you go on online. And when they start coming to join our classes, there is a personal experience because most of our classes are live. So we're always calling out people's name. Hi, Joe. Hi, Sam.
Yeah, yeah.
Good to see you. You know, that is still very important to carry through.
It's that connection, isn't it?
Exactly. And that was my core purpose of, you know, if I was going to go online, it's not going to just be recording. It has to be live.
Yeah.
Because it has to keep my customer base feel like they're still part of the studio.
Yeah.
So that was a challenging strategy to maintain.
And I think you spun that up really quickly. I think you had a week of hell or something, didn't you, really?
Yes, I had. You know, like to keep people trusting you and not people being too anxious, I basically worked 20-hour day for 4 weeks straight because I had to find out what equipment I needed, what sound quality was involved, and what, you know, how to actually distance, place a microphone, the echo in the room, lighting,
yeah.
You know, forget about the IT side of it. That's another background. You know, what software,
yeah.
You know, how is it going to turn out, like, after you record?
Yeah.
You know, all of that stuff. And, you know, being in digital, there's the coding side of it that has a team behind you. And then you have the implementation side of it that you need a different team. You need, like, videographer. You need sound engineer. You know, all that stuff. Mm. But you did that all on my own.
I know Google's an amazing tool for trying to figure
yes.
out. Anything. Yeah, I can't tell you how many YouTube videos I've watched on how to do X for, you know, digital yeah. or whatever. So, you know, I know you're a hustler. I know that you're self-made, that you have massive drive and ambition. What would you say is your superpower then?
Oh, I think my superpower is probably I can continue with very little sleep.
Yes.
I don't think you know that about me.
Yeah, I don't have that superpower either. I've been on a night out with you and I have to go home. I don't have that.
I think
you can survive on a really small amount of sleep. Yep.
I can. But I think, I always think, why is it? I also think that when I do sleep, I'm like a brick that can't hear a thing. Like nothing wakes me up. So when I sleep really soundly. You know, when I rest, I really rest. When I don't want to talk to people, I really don't talk to people. You know, like, so I think it's about doing what you do. Doing everything or doing nothing, you got to do both sides the best way you can.
Yeah,
you
know? you're very on, so then, or you're very off.
You're off. Yeah, when you're on, you're on. You're off, you're off. When I'm on, I can be on for a long time.
Right.
But when I'm off for a long time. You know.
Yeah.
You know, based on circumstances as well. So yeah, superpower. That's it.
Superpower. That's
my superpower. Yeah.
Oh, I think you've got many. I think you're, you know, very resilient. I think you're driven. I think you're brave. You know, you're a go-getter. And so where do you find your most joy these days? And how has that, you know, you've taken something that you were really passionate about. It's now a business. Where are you finding the most joy?
You know what? My biggest joy truly is when like, I know this is going to sound cliche. When you deal with a lot of people, you see people responding to it. You feel it. But when you hear it, when you hear actually someone go out of their way and said, I've had this chronic issue. I've had depression. I've had anxiety. I've never felt comfortable being anywhere, doing yoga in an open space, being around other people. But I found that when I came to your studio, it immediately, you know, really give me a strong validation that the core philosophy I've always built in that studio is I do not like anyone to be forgotten in that studio. So one of the things that my teacher are not allowed to do is get hijacked by a talker, by someone who needs a lot of attention.
Because
a lot of people just in the background disappear and never get to say hi, bye to you, or you never get to ask them how they're going. They're not allowed to be hijacked by people. They have to
bring everyone
balance, and they have to acknowledge everyone. They have to say bye to everyone. And then if someone tried to hijack you, you have to actually say to them, hey, can you just hang back a second until I finish saying bye to everyone? And then I'll, my time is yours. And I think when you're giving people that time, even that person is trying to hijack you, understand that now it is a quality time, you know, that you have time for them. They have time for you as well. There's an exchange of energy. For me, I find a lot of joy in that. You know, I'm not very time bound. You know me, I'm terrible with keeping track of time. So because I tend to just, if I'm in a moment, I'm really in the moment. I can talk to someone for 3 hours. I don't actually think about how long I've spoken to that person. So no, that's my joy.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like to be restricted in my presence.
Yeah.
And if I'm giving someone something, I give my all. And I know when I give my all, I get the best joy in return, you know? So that's my, you know, that's what feeds me.
I love it.
Which is not very efficient
in a
business world, you know, but I think sometimes you got to balance that with
And I think it is. And that's why people like coming to your studio, because of that as well.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. And I think it takes a while for me to explain that to my teachers. You know, not all of them are the same, right?
Yeah.
Or even my front staff, you know, they need to understand that you can't just be so caught up in having to put things away and, you know, and forgetting that there's someone in front of you who may need someone to chat with and have a conversation with.
Yeah.
You know, we're in the business of allowing people to feel like relaxed when they come in. So meaning that they also want to be able to, you know, felt like they're listened to.
Yeah.
So that's important. We're like unqualified psychologists. We don't give advice, but we're like a listener, like bartenders, you know?
Or the hairdressers,
for all that matter. Absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah.
Thank you so much, Ivy, for joining the Ladies Leadership Podcast. I've learned even more about you today than what I knew before.
So it's an honor.
Thank you so much for your time. Now, so where can people find you?
So they can find us online. Our web address is www.liquidroom.com.au.
Yep.
I know a lot of people always call us the Liquid Room. It's actually just Liquid Room.
Did I say the Liquid Room?
I'm not sure if you said it, but just in case you did. But, you know, a lot of people, you know, when they call, they're like, oh, you know, is this the Liquid Room? I'm like, no, it's Liquid Room. Because, you know, I feel like the is like a title rather than
a place.
An experience.
Yeah.
A place, a space, you know. Mm. So,
space,
The liquidroom.com.au. And our website have very comprehensive information about us.
Yep.
You can also contact us at our studio via telephone. And also
follow you.
Facebook.
Yep.
Yeah, on Facebook. We have Liquid Room Bayside.
And
have to call Liquid Room Bayside.
Okay.
Because Liquid Room alone is a nightclub in Kuala Lumpur and Tokyo. So Liquid Room Bayside. Serving alcohol. That's right. And then my personal space is just ivy.evenden on Instagram.
Yeah.
And I basically share a lot more about how I'm moving through life, you know, how I find balance between being a business owner, enjoying nature and, you know, live really spiritually balanced as much as I can, and having kids as well. So that's all.
Exactly.
You know, and you know, being a single parent and all of that, you know, there's a lot of aspects to that. So I hope, you know, women out there, you know, don't be afraid to take on these responsibilities. It's important. You know, we're role model for our daughters, you know, so.
And our sons.
And our sons. Exactly. Exactly.
Because you've got daughters and I've got sons.
Absolutely. And I think that's also important, yeah? Don't you think? As mothers, we need to show our sons that we are capable as women as well. You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So thank you. Know how to treat their women.
That's right. Thank you so much, Ivy. Please check Ivy out. She does have lots of inspiring content on her Facebook and on her Instagram as well. So check it out. I know that I'm inspired on a regular basis. So thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. And I'm inspired by you too for even having this platform. Thank you, Sam. Lots of love.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye.
I just absolutely love that chat that I had with Ivy. In fact, actually, I was editing this podcast. I actually got more out of it. And the bits that I really liked was, you know, the piece around the body and being in your body and checking in and saying, okay, does my sore knee, how is it today? And, you know, could I do a little bit more? I also really liked her values in terms of customers and that piece around the customer trusting them through COVID, her communicating regularly and telling them what was going on and just sharing that journey as well and creating that trust with the customer. And I also just love how Ivy makes time for people at the studio and that she doesn't like to restrict her presence. And I think that's really terrific. You know, she's in that wellness space and to be able to provide that, but also consciously provide that. So that's, you know, one of the values that she brings to that studio and how she turns up. So, yeah, just thought it was just a great interview. I really enjoyed it. So, look, I hope you're enjoying the Lady Leadership Podcast. If you've got, if you know someone that you think I should interview, or if you've got some topics that you think would be worth me investigating and discussing, by all means, get in touch. If you'd like to give me feedback, or if you've got any questions for me as well, just reach out at sjmcintyre1@gmail.com. Make sure you put the one there, otherwise Steve will get the email who lives in the US and it's probably not his forte. So also you can check out my website, which is www.lady-leadership.com, or you can follow me on Facebook and Instagram as well. So hope you're well, hope you're having a good week. Yeah, terrific. Thank you very much.